This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, let's go back old school with one of my favorites, Nolan Carroll, fifth round pick back in 2010 of the Miami Dolphins, played defensive back, and he joins us this morning. Nolan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Joe. How about yourself, man?
It's been a long time since we've had all those discussions we used to have.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah. Man.
I even missed your mom. I even had your mom one night at NBC. Hell, we must have sat in there and talked for an hour, man. She was just fantastic. Hey, first of all, I saw some of your stuff you're doing. It's great, mm-hmm. man. In front of people, it was great. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, my brother and I just seen a landscape of just kids missing out on scholarships and opportunities to continue their athletic and educational college careers. We created a junior college at the time 5 years ago, and it was really to give these kids a chance and an opportunity to continue with football and also with school and get them the film that they needed and teach them really how this whole business of football works and showing them how to be a brand and understanding what they need to do with coaches and recruiting. And you know, here we are 5 years later now, and you know, we're a college, a 4-year college, where we supply bachelor's and master's degrees and giving these kids an opportunity to make something of themselves. And I've been doing that, like I said, the last 5 years with other business ventures that I have, and it's been fun, man. So trying to give back to the community and give back to the experiences that I had when I was playing, trying to give it to these young guys and get them to understand what they need to do to be successful in the world.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's great stuff. It really is, and I'm not surprised being around you and your background and your mother and father's background and everything else. So I got to ask you, obviously, you're aware of what's gone on here, and all of a sudden Jonathan Martin has said, hey, it's a story that I've been trying to fix for 10 years, and Jonathan Martin even blamed his parents. And you were here the same time as Richie, almost identical years, actually, mm-hmm. as his career went on. I'm just curious, in that locker room, 2013 was a crazy year, just doing the games and kind of on the outside. But for you, you were on the inside. What was that like going through the whole bullying thing and what happened with Jonathan Martin and, of course, the big hit that was taken by Richie Incognito?
Yeah, just first and foremost, you know, my comments were made not towards in anger. It was more towards like, why now? Because it's so long ago that it happened, and you drag so many people through the mud, and just to revisit something like that again, it's almost like you opened up old wounds. And you know, just addressing it that way was just basically saying, at the time, just there's no need for it, especially when it was going on. And for us, just looking back, and you have to relive that moment when you're in it,
Yeah.
You're more so just thinking about, hey, we got to survive. And when that happened, people got to remember that that season, 2013, we started 3-0. And then we hit a skid where we lost four games in a row. And it was right after that New England game where people got to remember we were up 17-0 at half and we lost 27-17. And, you know, that Monday, Tuesday that preceded, there was a lot of people saying we weren't playing well. And, you know, nobody was really playing well. We just weren't. And the thing that I didn't really like about it was in football, you're always hit with adversity. And the people that are able to overcome adversity are the ones that are successful. Those are the one. Those are the people that become known. You know, the Tom Brady's and, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, the freaking Jalen Hurts, the guys of those worlds where they're able to overcome adversity, and you love those stories. And in this case, there's a point in time where we all face adversity as a team, and instead of trying to come together more, we had one individual that decided to take it outside. And because it could have been internal, it could have been handled in-house, he much rather go to the media instead of just standing his ground and saying, you know what, I don't like the way I'm being treated, y'all, and work out of it. Like, get yourself out of that hole so you could prove to your teammates that, hey, we can trust you more. But the fact that during that time you decided to go elsewhere and cause this whole, I guess, clown show, I mean, that's what took a toll on our season.
Right. And no question.
Before that, not even before that, going into that Cincinnati game, just hearing all the circus and everything, we had to fight through for almost 7 weeks. If people really think about it, we went 5-2 on that little run that we had. And just getting ready to play Buffalo, I just remember it. Guys were exhausted. We had two games to go to fight for the playoffs, and I just remember just thinking mentally. It wasn't even physically. We were just mentally exhausted from all the questions pertaining to this. It seemed like every day it was something new that was coming out that, I mean, it's just like, for what? Like, at some point in time, you should have been a man and just said, you know what? I apologize for what I was doing. Like, 10 years later, to say you apologize and trying to get through it does nothing for anybody at the end of the day, because guys like Coach Turner, who didn't deserve it whatsoever, he's a great coach, amazing coach. I got respect for him. He shouldn't have been thrown under the bus. Kevin O'Neill, who still has respect amongst the NFL circles, shouldn't have been thrown under the bus. Mike Pouncey, John Jerry, I respect those guys. Richie Incognito, I respect them. Those are the guys that, if I needed them in a bar fight, I would pick them over him. Big, just how it is. I respect them. You go to war with those guys. And the fact that you're willing to basically burn an organization, burn a franchise because you couldn't stand up to what you needed to stand up to, that's what I don't have respect for. It would have been fine if he had just not said anything. And you just went off into the sunset and left everybody guessing. But the fact that you have to revisit this, and a lot of people have tried to move on with their lives after, that's right. What I look at. That's what I lost respect for him, and I don't respect him because of that. Like, if there was just so many different ways he could have went about doing it, but at the end of the day, I just really feel like himself, he started this victimhood. If my coaches are getting on me or players getting on me, let me go to run to mom and dad. And he made it okay for other guys to do that. And you see that dynamic now with the locker rooms. I deal with it now, and I really think it stemmed from that. It really, all the things that you see going on in the locker room now have derived from this whole thing that happened. And that's what I truly, honestly believe. And that's why I spoke on it, because a lot of guys, we're fighting daily as a team,
right,
to win. We're fighting as a team daily to accomplish something, which is win the Lombardi Trophy, get to the playoffs. And the fact that you didn't see it that way and you didn't want to handle it the right way, at the end of the day, we're a family. All families have problems. All families have that one guy or family member that says something crazy or does something crazy. At the end of the day, you all love each other. You care on each other. And if you can find a way to get through it, you do that. And you gain more respect from your teammates and the organization when you're able to keep things in-house and grow from it. And he didn't do that.
You know, Nolan, it's funny. I still remember not only talking to you about this, because you and I did talk a lot during that time. Everybody liked Richie. Mike Pouncey was the first guy to go, look at, man, I'm just telling you, we go out. You just said it. We go out, black guys, white guys. Richie goes, I got it all taken care of. Don't worry about that over there. You guys get out of here. I'll take it. And everybody liked playing, liked having him on the team. Is that accurate?
It's accurate. I mean, I don't have any problems with Richie. If anything, I fought Richie before in practice, and I'll never do that again. I absolutely will not, and I respect him. because Richie's a guy that you need on your team that's just a bully. At the end of the day, he's not a bully, but the guy that you need that is tough, hard-nosed, that's not going to take anything from anybody, and he's going to fight because he's your teammate. He cares about you.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy I want on my team. At times, does he go off the rocker? Of course. That's the type. It's just the type of offensive lineman you want. When they talk about linemen, they talk about dirty, hard-nosed, play-to-the-whistle, pancaking guys. That's who he is. That's who he was. And I just look at his career. He was able to come back and still play and make it to the Pro Bowl, being all pro.
Crazy story, and you're right.
Yeah, nobody said after he was a bad teammate in the locker room. If anything, I heard stories of him being a great teammate in the locker room after that. And that doesn't get recognized enough because everybody's talking about the past and a fabricated story and certain things that were taken out of context to make him look like he was the bad guy. And I had no problems with the guy. And I actually did get to hang out with him. And you're right. He's that guy that says, look, I'm taking care of the tab. He's that guy that says, hey, look, let's all get together and have fun. Let's all go out. He was always that type of teammate. He was always that type of person. And it just sucks that he's just labeled as this bad guy that's a racist, that doesn't really care about his teammates. He was completely opposite from that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I tell you, it's just fine. And then on top of that, of course, the year 2013 is kind of part of the show today. We take Deion Jordan, and he recently did an interview with the Miami Dolphins and said, yeah, man, I wasn't ready for everything. I had lots of problems, and I just wasn't ready. What do you remember about Deion Jordan? You were there for his rookie year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deion was a quiet guy. Quiet dude. He didn't speak much, but he worked hard. And when you're the third overall pick, if I can remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Third overall pick. That's tough. Because they're expecting you to be like a Jason Taylor, because that's
absolutely
what everybody compared him to. And you know, that's a lot of pressure, especially when you're already playing with a guy like Cam Wake, Paul Soliai, Randy Starks. I mean, those guys are Pro Bowlers already. So when you're coming in, it's the demand is high for you to be an impact guy, and he was working at it. He truly was. It wasn't like he was a lazy dude. He wasn't like that. He genuinely wanted to learn from those guys. They were teaching him. He just wasn't consistent early on in his career. But you saw the flashes, and there were things that happened. I think he had some PED stuff, just some things going on. I don't know what he was taking. I don't know what it was. He's probably just trying to keep his body right. At the end of the day, there's question marks around just what you could take and what you couldn't take. So you can't really just say he was taking steroids or taking performance enhancing. He didn't need that stuff. The guy was 6'6".
Oh, he's a freak.
Right, 250.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when I got to talk to him and just sometimes in practice or in the locker room, you could just tell he was just a kind dude. He was a guy that just wanted to work, and he wanted to exceed the expectations of being a third overall pick. And that's what I respected about him was, even after the fact I left for Miami, he was still trying to work to be as best as he possibly could.
You know, Nolan, it's funny. You said something, and it's had me thinking of you. I was looking at some of your comments you had made. The NFL's not for everybody, man. No matter how talented you are, no matter how much everybody around you goes, oh, you got to play in the NFL. It's just not for everybody, man. There's a lot of highs and lows in that friggin' game, and you better be ready for the roller coaster. And if you're emotionally and mentally not ready, I can get you in counseling all day. It just doesn't work. I mean, you agree with that? I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I just like. It's a game of highs and lows, man. It is a walking roller coaster. Nobody's ever going to go, had a perfect year.
Yeah, exactly. It comes down to adversity. And I go back to 2013. I go back to 2011. There was a couple games where I wasn't playing well my second year in the league, and Jason Taylor called me out in front of the media. I didn't go and complain and say, oh, that's not fair. No, I had to work my butt off to prove to my teammates that, all right, I'm going to get better because you called me out. You know I can do better. And that's the thing that I did. I worked to get myself out of that hole, and I ended up finishing that year strong. And I'll never forget this. We were playing Buffalo, and I had a couple PBUs. And I remember the last PBU that I had, it was right near Jason. I remember Jason coming up to me and was like, yo, good job. Good job, Nolan. And I just remember hearing that. From week two in the season when we lost to Houston to him calling me out to week 15, now him saying great job and dapping me up. Like, those are the reasons why you play the game of football. is because you know that you could work yourself out of a hole and gain the respect back with your teammates, and they respect you back because they see the work that you're doing. Those are the things that I admire about the game of football, and that's what I look to teach, and that's what I admired with other guys that I was able to play with, is when you're in it, and yes, football is not for everybody, but when you're in it, your job is to grab your teammates and tell them, hey, look, whether you like it or not, we're in this together, and you got to learn how to get out of it, and I'm going to show you how, and I'm going to be with you along the way. And I believe that's what Richie was doing. I believe that's what Mike Pouncey was doing, John Jerry. Those guys were literally trying to help him get out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people forget, is Richie was his biggest advocate. Richie was trying to take him to dinners, trying to take him to the club, trying to take him to parties, to get him out of that shell of thinking, you don't have to do this on your own. Like, yeah, you're playing bad, everybody's playing bad, but so what? We're a team. We're going to do this together. We're going to get the wins together. We're going to get to the playoffs together. It's not one person's going to get us there. And I think that's what's lost in this whole entire context, is how great of a teammate that Richie was, Mike Pouncey was, John Jerry was. And, you know, I saw the article, and, you know, I wasn't paying it no mind. I was at the Eagles parade. I was there. I got invited back by the Eagles. I wasn't thinking about any of this stuff. And the fact it was brought back up, and I saw some comments of him saying that those guys have reached the heights of their careers in life, and he's doing better. I felt like it was a jab at them because of their character. And I look back at it, Mike Pouncey, for people that don't know, he's doing a great job in the community. He's got a 12U team where he's helping kids basically become better athletes and better people, to show them how they need to get better, similar to what I'm doing with my school here. Richie is Richie. He's going to be who he is, but his body of work speaks for himself. I know he's doing some stuff with the Raiders. John Jerry, people don't realize, he played 8 years in the NFL. So guys past that have been doing great. They've been doing well with their lives. They've been getting better. They've done other things outside of football. And just like I said, just to hear some of those things, it's just like bringing it back to the past and trying to relive that, to basically say, hey, I lied, but this other stuff,
yeah,
I'm not going to own up to what I said, but yeah, this is a lie, but I'm not going to go back and apologize to those guys for what I did to them. That's what I took from that whole thing, and that's why I spoke out.
Nolan, it's been great getting caught up with you, man. Thank you so much. Up early. I can tell you one thing, your background, your mom and dad, you come from tough love. You got military on both sides.
Definitely. They taught me well.
Good stuff. No, I appreciate it, man. So glad to hear you this morning. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you. Yes, sir.
All right. Nolan Carroll, former Dolphins, and part of Carroll's connection now, helping kids. We've got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here. First, though, I want to talk to you about Atlantic Men's Clinic. Never too early in the morning. Doesn't really matter what's going on. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning, man. But I tell you, when it comes to ED and low T, had a couple guys. I played tennis all weekend. A couple guys said, hey, Joe, Atlantic Men's Clinic, I just got to ask you because I'm getting ready. Does it work? Great results. I go, yeah. Are you talking more about the energy level so you can get out here and play an hour and a half, 2 hours? Yes. Are you talking about the bedroom too? I am. Okay. Yes, Atlantic Men's Clinic is a place to go. I had great results, man. Everybody's going to have ED and low T. Every man out there, sometimes it happens in your 40s, 50s, 60s. And when it hits you hard. And boy, I knew something was wrong. Either that or I went and had a physical. They go, no, you're fine. Yeah, except my low T and ED. Sex drive is gone. Energy level was shot. But I got to tell you, I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic almost a year ago. I got great results, and I've been sharing it with everybody. First of all, you get all your testing done, the T, the PSA test. They take it all for you, do it, give you the results. Then on top of that, you meet with their professionals. They'll set you up on a program, and you get – somebody asked me yesterday, how quickly does it kick in? I said, pretty fast. It gets rolling pretty fast. You'll notice a difference. You really will. They have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. We got more on the way. Call them today, 877-455-7300. Unbelievable results. Go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Set up that first appointment, the most important one.